What's go? Why are you bothering me? I'm trying to clean up Paris twice.
Why am I bothering you? What are you kidding me? It's like you need off hours therapy now. It's like
so this is what happened. I've had this really weird thing where I don't like doing anything alone. So Tracy's away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cleaning the house and I don't feel like doing it by myself. So you are going to join me.
Let's pick up these toys.
Let's pick up these toys. I got a xylophone over here.
Nice. Get the job done.
Yeah. Is it just me or does every kid have this xylophone? If I hit it, you know exactly what I'm playing. You can see it in your head. It's got wheels on it.
Yeah. And does the little baton, is it on a string?
Yeah, it's a yellow baton on a red string. See? Every single kid has this. I don't know how, but Fisher Price has cornered the market on toys that I've almost broken my back on. I literally rollerbladed with it out of the office the other day. hey, buddy, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going all right. I mean, you know, long day today.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
You know,
how about that weather? How about those Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Speaking of Blue Jays.
Oh, my. How did you work in a transition?
I have a ton of them around my house lately. I've never had Blue Jays around here, but they're here like in like there's like 20 of them around the house.
Dude, it's weird that you mentioned that because I swear to God, one landed right outside my window of my office the other day and it was loud. It was loud as fuck. I don't know.
Yeah, they're violent birds.
Why are they making so much noise? Why are you calling them violent?
Because I saw a blue jay kick a cardinal's ass the other day.
I got mugged by a blue jay once.
Did I ever tell you at the time we were in Newport and Tracy and I, we were on the beach and one time a seagull ripped the sandwich out of her hand as she was holding it and reading a book. He just dove down, took the sandwich and flew away. And then the next summer, one just landed right on her head like she was a freaking buoy. It just sat right on her head like nothing was wrong with it.
Dude. First of all, is there any evidence that it's the same seagull? That's my first question.
Seagull stole a sandwich from you.
Oh. Right. I'm being corrected.
You forgot?
It was like 20 pounds, and the thing just took
the No, yep, the seagull stole the sandwich from me.
That's such a better story. One, because you don't eat sandwiches. What was it like? Your one sandwich of the year, and you were so excited about it, and the thing swooped down and just robbed. Stole the joy.
You know, it's crazy. That summer we were in Newport, and Tracy was pissed off at me because I got up early every morning to go to the Newport CrossFit that was down the road from where we were staying.
God, you're the worst.
I know.
You're the worst.
She's like, how'd you do like in one of the classes? And I was like, great. I was like, it was like finished before everybody else. She's like, oh, that's cool. That's great. Good to hear. And like maybe like 6 or 7 hours later, we're like walking down the Newport Strip. And these two kids, they have to be like 12 years old, roll up behind us in bikes and go, hey, you're the guy from CrossFit, right? And she goes, these are the people that you beat the room with. These are the people you're proud you came in first.
Right. It's like Kramer in the karate class inside.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's me.
You're a great guy. I'm glad that seagull thiefed your fucking sandwich.
I didn't deserve that sandwich. I rarely do.
Sandwiches for closers. Sandwiches for winners.
These toys aren't going to clean up themselves, Mike.
No. But what's really funny is you said Tracy's away.
Yeah.
Before.
You know what's funny is I did say that. What I meant to say is that Tracy's going away.
Uh-huh.
So she's busy packing. And you know what's really, really, really interesting is Tracy's had plans to go away on tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Wednesday? Whatever day it is.
What's tomorrow? Tomorrow is? Tomorrow is the day my boss goes through the books, Eddie. All right? That's what tomorrow is.
Is that true?
That's Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, you called me Eddie. Oh, right. I thought you were losing it finally.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, so I found out today, about 2 hours ago, that I need to fly to San Francisco on the same day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's great. It's great timing. I think Tracy and I may actually wind up being in the airport at the same time. The kids, don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. How fucking crazy is it that Tom Hanks just lived in that terminal for like 20 years?
Oh, yeah, that was true. It was a true story, right? Oh, my God, I forgot all about that movie. Like, what was the main thing about that movie? Is that he wound up, like, building a fountain at the end? Was that the thrust of the film?
Let me tell you that the man is so lovable that he's the only person that could make you sit through this film. And I did.
Yeah. Yeah,
I watched it. It was on one of the streaming things. It was free. I don't know, whatever it was on a couple months ago. And I was like, I never saw this. Mm-hmm. I usually watch Tom Hanks movies, you know. So I put it on, and I start watching. I'm like, this is stupid. And then I realized I'm saying to myself, it's stupid all the way through the end credits. I'm like, that was stupid. I watched the whole thing.
I did it at one point in my life.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And yeah, it's based on like a true guy who apparently is like a real prick. It wasn't nearly as like the
right,
only thing,
right.
The only thing he had in common was, yeah, I think there was some weirdness with his passport, but then he just didn't want to leave.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, does the idea of this guy living in an airport because he doesn't want to leave sound like a guy who would be great?
No, but point in the that guy sucks. But the point of the movie is that Tom Hanks is a man without a country.
Yeah, he becomes like, it becomes like Groundhog's Day. He tries to like do good things for people.
Right.
I think. I don't remember. But the fountain. I remember the fountain. It's like the whole time.
Yeah, he's like a carpenter or a really good kind of like, he's a construction dude all of a sudden, and he can.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He builds a fountain for Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And, oh my God, Catherine Zeta-Jones is in that.
Yeah, yeah, the love interest.
Sad that she died.
not dead.
Not dead.
Not dead.
Subject matter.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this? I do think that we are due an office. I know we said it during one of the last shows we were recording. God, thank God we're not recording this.
throw that out.
Throw that out.
Yeah.
I think we're due an office rewatch.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What is the whole series? Like 3 hours 50?
Yeah. It's 12 and an hour and a Christmas special. Right?
I think we could do it in a night.
Yeah.
Big time.
He's throwing a kettle over a pub. What have you done?
Yeah. What have you done?
I think about that line a lot.
You love that line. You always talk about that line. You actually, one of the first times we started talking about The Office, you kept referencing that line. I was like, I need to watch that episode again because I just didn't think I remembered that one being so funny. And now, of course, I think it's, you know.
Yeah, the quiz. Finchie and the quiz,
right.
How competitive they get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, and I just love that that's a thing. And sometimes I think about that, and I'm like, being known for throwing a kettle over a pub is better than not being known at all.
Yeah.
Like, no one knows, and no one would be like, oh, that's Mike. He's known for, you know, like, fill in the, like, whatever.
No, I can't.
You can't, because it's nothing. No. For you, it would be, there goes Todd, a seagull stole his sandwich once.
Yeah, and he didn't even remember it. He thought it was his wife's sandwich.
Right, and then, for some reason, eschewed blame. What? Why would you do that? Why would you tell the story like Tracy lost the sandwich?
I don't know. I just thought it was her both times. I don't know what happened to me.
I'm concerned about what's going on with you mentally because I think you're rewriting things.
Yeah, a little, that's why we have a show.
Yeah, you're going back and you're editing your life. Like, and you're doing it without me, which I don't appreciate because you know that.
Well, that's why I started calling you more often instead of texting you.
Right. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, no, it's like, that's why we write shows. And like, that's why we have a show because like, I can tell like the hot dog story, like the way that I remember it, not the way that it actually, although the hot dog story is pretty close to the facts.
Yeah, and it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like I get accused all the time. I'll tell Yolanda something's funny from a movie and I will pump it up a little bit bigger and make it funnier to her. And then when she watches it, she'll be like, I wish you didn't make me watch it because I don't think it's as funny now.
Oh yeah, I do that all the time.
I'll talk it up like, oh, isn't it, you know, like, there was one line in like Father of the Bride that I was doing, and I was like, and like, he didn't say it that way exactly. It was like a slightly different thing, but it must have morphed over time by joking about it with my brother.
Sure. Sure.
and like my friends, and it became this ridiculous, you know,
right,
caricature of itself. Yeah. And so when she watches, she was like, oh, he doesn't even say that. And I was like,
I didn't even get that right.
Nah, I didn't get the line right. Mm-hmm. And I blew up my own memory and I made her sad. It's like a triple.
I made her sad. I ruined her night.
It's a triple whopper.
Oh, gross.
I had BK tonight. So.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's gross. Big time.
it was rough.
Do you know the time that I always get tempted to dive into the fast food is the airport?
Yeah, when you're on your way.
Yeah, the terminal that I go to fly to San Francisco regularly, it has a Shake Shack in it.
Oh, nice.
And I don't like eat Shake Shack, but when I see it there and I'm just kind of waiting for an always delayed Delta flight, I'm like, yeah, could do that. But then I'm afraid of what could happen on the flight.
Right, like Siegel breaks into the window, grabs your sandwich.
Yeah, it's like the Twilight Zone Shatner. He's like worried about like an alien on the wing, and I'm worried about a seagull coming through the window.
Right, exactly. The seagull story is almost as epic as the hot dog story. It's just it's short form instead of long form.
You know what's funny is we were talking about like ideas for the next show that we were going to record, and you were like, "We need a new hot dog story." And guess what? You got it. I'm going to have to find a way to spin this into an actual. Now, when I tell it on the show, do I do the same thing I did this time, or do I just tell it the true way? I'm going to have to think about it. I'll see if I can get Gray or Tracy to break in when we're recording.
I love that you were corrected on the fly.
I'd love that Tracy can hear this. It's as close as she gets to listening.
That might be my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
Is thinking that she was away and then correcting your seagull story.
And that's true. I got that wrong too. What I meant to say is she's going away, not she is away.
Sure. And then we started talking about the terminal.
I haven't cleaned up anything except for the xylophone. And guess what? I didn't actually clean it up. I just moved it to another area it doesn't belong so I could play it. Mm-hmm. It's better than the slide whistle.
Well,
you know, it's really funny. Did you see the post I put up about, like, tell me a listener Super Nintendo ads without telling me a listener Super Nintendo ads? It was like 90% slide whistle jokes.
I know.
It's a thing. It's a phenomenon.
It is.
What I think we should do is, you know, like Oriental Trading, like that catalog or whatever, where you can get like a whole bunch of like little stuff for cheap, like kazoos and like those hands that clap each other if you move them back and forth on a stick. I don't know what those are for.
Oh, clappy hand sticks.
Yeah, the clappy hand sticks, right. Sure. We should get like slide whistles from there and sign them.
No,
like for each other, because no one else is gonna want
to. right, exactly. Nobody wants a slide whistle. Mm-hmm. And now,
all right, I gotta get to business here. Do you have anything? Can entertain me with something? Tell me a story while I get these bins together.
Okay.
What do you got for me? Anything?
Yeah,
how's work?
Yeah. No, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, good.
I want to talk about this.
Okay.
On the last show, you were talking about Under the Bridge, right? Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah. Yep. Heard it again this week, by the way. So the 25-year streak is still going strong.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking about my own personal Under the Bridge.
Okay.
And
I cannot wait to hear this one.
My Under the Bridge.
It's Franz Ferdinand, isn't it?
No.
It's Take Me Out.
No, I feel like it's Walking in Memphis by Mark Owen. And every time it comes on, it's a delight. It's like
you know, I saw him recently, and surprisingly, he's bald. You would have never known it from the video.
Well, that's because the video, he wasn't bald yet. I feel like
no, in the video, he has like the words like Bruce Willis, like, I'm holding on, I'm holding on.
Yeah.
Holding on to what I got.
Yeah. That's
get a little extra Aquanet in there. It might give it a little texture.
Yeah. But that was like 91, 92.
Yeah, true.
So anyway.
Walking in Memphis, that's your under the bridge, huh? It follows you everywhere you go?
It follows me around.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. It's a great hook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good karaoke.
So it's great karaoke.
The karaoke selection.
Yeah, he's kind of baritone-y most of it. Most people can get most of those notes.
Right, but here's the thing. You really got to sell the... Like, if the room's not involved when you do the... What's the line when he's like...
Ma'am, I am tonight.
Yeah,
said, that's the line.
You a Christian, and I said, man, I am
tonight. Yeah, if no one sings that with you, go home.
You've failed the karaoke.
You either have no charisma. You either have no charisma. You're no fun. Or you're not drunk enough. Go home.
Yeah, that's what you did. You sound like just walking in Memphis and you fucking bombed on it, right?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, like dude,
just do "Jump" by Van Halen next time. You have three words.
Right. How you feeling? With the punches. you could sing that while ordering and drinking.
Have you ever heard the David Lee Roth isolation tapes, where it's just his vocal track? Oh my god, it's so good!
It must be so much like skididibop.
No, it's just bad. You don't realize like how much his voice is in the mix.
Yeah,
I'm making a note here.
David Lee Roth
isolated tracks.
David Lee Roth definitely on Cameo. Birthday greeting for Todd.
Oh my god. Yeah, and he's got a sky. And it's
something like, Todd, how you feel?
Wow! Diamond Dave.
Yeah, Todd, talk about charisma.
Yeah, he's got charisma. So, Walking in Memphis, that's your jam.
Yeah, so
it's a good hook. You're right. It's like, it's always good. It's like there's like the chorus is like repeated 7 times and it hits every time.
Yeah. And what's great is that like much like a Michael Jackson song, several things of the hook, not just the actual chorus hook, but the piano riff, things that are like, you know, there's many hooks. There's little things you look forward to every time. And I don't hear it enough where it ever played out or burned out.
Right.
It's just enough in my life that every time I listen to it, I feel like I have a spiritual experience. listening to 1992 Grammy Award winner for Best Album or Best Song or whatever it was.
Did he win a Grammy for that?
Best New Artist maybe, or Best Song. He's a Grammy Award winner. And he's also a gunshot to the face survivor, Todd. Did you know that?
No. Like before the song?
No, dude.
Oh, after the song?
Yeah.
Because of the song?
Yeah. No, because of the song. No,
I can't get this goddamn song into my head.
No, nobody shot the man because of Walking in Memphis. That would be...
Can I tell you my memory of Walking in Memphis that hopefully Michael Gorn will appreciate, because we used to sing this all the time to each other. Remember compilation albums like that they used to sell on TV?
Of course.
And it was like, Caribbean Queen. And they just like play the hook and like play another one.
Yeah, all hooks.
Yeah, it was all hooks. I swear to God, there was one. And I don't know if I made this up in my head, but I truly believe that there was one that went from Annie Lennox to that. And it was, walking on, walking on, walking on, walking in Memphis.
Dude, somebody definitely did that. If they didn't, they shouldn't have. I feel like
that's sure it was like totally 80s, Razor and Tie, 1999, or a penny from Joint Columbia House. Razor and Tie. Yeah. It's like Pepper's Farm.
Yeah. Right.
I listened to Alf this morning.
Did you? Did the phone ring?
I did it again. Well, it doesn't work that way, sadly. Or else I'd have the thing ringing all day.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's great. One of my favorite parts of that episode that I forgot about is that we go right from the stage reading right into Escape the Show. And you play Alf the entire time, method style.
God, I did.
And I dive into Belvedere for a whales joke.
We're just so dumb.
We're so dumb.
We're so dumb.
Somehow 20,000 people have listened to our show and we're so dumb.
We're so dumb. And you know what's really funny? Is that just statistically, I eat more sandwiches than you, but I've never had one stolen from me. Todd, I've eaten infinitely more sandwiches than you, and I've never had a bird.
Well, do you know why? Because if birds ever viewed from their angle the size of your sandwiches and go, there's no way I'm picking that up.
That's not a clean getaway.
That's not a clean getaway. It's like, let me see that. What is that? A piece of a thin piece of whole wheat with one slice of turkey and one slice of Swiss? I can handle that. It's about my weight. Meanwhile, they're not going to look at a barge and be like, yeah, I can get that. They need six of their friends.
No.
be a concentrated effort.
It needs to be like the good, what is it, the good pigeons? Or what was it, Animaniacs?
Oh, yeah, Animaniacs had pigeons.
Yeah, and it was a riff on Goodfellas. What was it called?
Good Pigeons, I think.
No, that's what I just said. You're saying what I said.
I know, I'm just trying to make you feel okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Walking in Memphis.
Walking in Memphis. I was actually literally just about to sing the hook. Yep.
So he wasn't. He was. So he was walking in Denver. Actually, after. And
I knew this.
Yes, 2000, early 2000s. It's like 4 or 5. And okay. Someone ran up to him and his band. I think as they were packing the bus or the van or. And I guess that's a big jump in popularity, like depending on the venue he's playing. I don't know.
You're literally just calling him out for, you know, success of his tour.
I think that it was a small.
It was probably
vehicle.
A bus.
No, because he was driving. So it's.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe there was like another thing taking his gear places. I don't want to think that he was like.
I think your band did better than that.
Yeah, but I didn't win a Grammy. I got close.
That's true. I got close to winning a BAFTA.
Exactly. I got as close as anyone.
It was for impersonations.
Right. Sure. It was for your Lorne Michaels that you made.
Yeah, another Tuesday in LA. It must have been my Carson.
Oh my God. It definitely wasn't your Carson.
Might have been.
Could have been.
So he's driving his own van in Denver.
Right. So after post show, Denver. And someone runs up to him, and I guess it was a mugging attempt. He was with his band. The guy opened fire on the open fire. I'm sounding like it's a like a military conflict. The guy starts shooting. And Mark yells duck, and everyone like but like before he can do it, like he gets shot, like through the windshield, which I guess the medical examiner said.
Why was there a medical examiner? Did people die?
No, because he had to go to the hospital like right away. So, I remember seeing that like the doctor was like, oh, if it hadn't gone through the windshield, it was like one of those things where it's like, well, I don't know, millimeter in this direction, millimeter in that.
Yeah, it was like if it hadn't hit the St. Christopher he had on the dashboard, he would have been dead.
Right, exactly. So it went through the glass and then it hit him kind of like. Near his eye, but it didn't even fracture his skull, but he had a hole in his head. And and like he was driving and managed to like get a couple blocks away, I think, with some because he had guys in the car with him from his van. I don't know. Anyway, but here's the crazy part. They discharged him from the hospital after like 8 hours.
Honorable?
Todd. It was like an outpatient procedure. The guy got shot in the face and he walked out. He walked out. And I got to tell you that I can't explain this with science.
Okay.
But I think he was spared because he wrote Walking in Memphis.
Yeah. I'm 99% sure.
I can't prove it with science.
Somehow it's what got him into this mess and what got him out of this mess.
Got him out of this mess, right?
Yep.
Incredible. So anyway,
it's like, you know, there was only one set of footsteps, Jesus. And he said, well, that's when I carried you, my son.
Right. No, he said, that's when I was walking in Memphis.
Sorry, I couldn't be there. I was walking in Memphis at the time.
Right, exactly.
Sorry, at the time I was walking in Memphis.
Sorry, my walk has grown considerably sillier lately. So
yeah. It's like one of those Twilight Zone episodes, though, right? It's like, I just want a hit song. It's like, I can get you a hit song, but it's going to be the thing that gets you. Yeah. I don't care. Give it to me.
Shot
I'm ready
in the
for
face.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he walked out and he's like, man, I am tonight. Like, dude, I can't explain it with science.
You don't have to. But no one's listening but you and me.
Right. No one is demanding that I do it with science. But no. I can't explain it with science. But I think he was spared the death from the gunshot in the face because of walking in Memphis.
I hope that that's true. Now we'll never know.
We'll never know.
It's the story I want to believe.
Yes. Yes. And it leads me to a question for you, which is, has anything ever happened with you in your life that you can't explain? Just something that you had a feeling, but you can't explain it anyway, based on your religious background?
Whoa. I don't know. I may have
I to. Like diving into the, I like diving into your religious background.
Yeah.
Or did you just buy cool cigarettes all the time?
Yeah, and menthol and Vicks menthol cough drops. Right. Father Brown.
Father Brown. Yeah.
I don't know if I ever had the spirit move me. Like there's been times in New York where like I've gotten off a subway car because it didn't feel right, and I'm sure that like it saved my life.
Was that like post 9/11?
No, just like, you know, like I don't know. There's not enough people on the car. Someone's looking at you a little shifty. It's starting to empty out and you're like, I don't know about this.
I started doing that with backpacks post 9/11.
Did you say something?
Yeah, yeah. Big time. No. I never called that number. But when you see that everywhere, it creates this climate of fear. And then you're thinking,
yeah, totally.
You know, I don't want to get on the 4 train and get Mark Cohen.
That's the real terrorism, man.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. It's a good question. I think I'll have to think about it. Maybe next time we do a show, I will see if I can come up with it. You should do the Memphis bit on a show, though.
You should do the Memphis bit.
Yeah.
Big time.
I don't know. It's a good question. I wish I had a solid answer. I wish I could be like, yeah, man, there was this one time in Minnesota where like, you know, I felt compelled to walk into a church and the bomb went off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It didn't hurt anyone. No one was hurt.
British accent doesn't make
sometimes
it better.
Sometimes the story may be false.
Because sometimes the complaint. Yeah.
I'm not doing the second line.
No.
Nah. No one wants to see. No one wants to hear that word.
No, sir.
You know what? I have something actually I want to talk to you about.
How long is this going to be?
I don't know, but.
All right. My phone's going to die. I'm warning you.
Oh, okay. All right. You've
been warned. Continue.
What kind of a percentage you got on there?
I don't know, but it's red.
Jesus. Is it in low power mode?
It just asked me if I wanted to, and I said yes.
Okay. Well, that's something. I got some time then. I was thinking like, it's weird. I went to a party recently.
Yeah.
Like a 50th surprise party. And it was the first like party I've been to in 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was weird. And it was like, I don't know. There's like people there like that are dating. And like, I started to think like I'm extremely thankful that I'm a happily married family man, partially because I love my wife and family, but mostly because I can't even begin to imagine dating as 40 in 2022.
Oh yeah. I think about that a lot actually.
Right?
Go on.
Right.
Do you know how close I was to like stepping into the, cause it was still early. Like,
like
online dating or dating apps, like any of that stuff. It was still just kind of like getting going. And like a couple of my friends were doing it. And I was like, maybe it's time I just did it. But like, I was thinking about that. And then like, I met Yolanda like shortly.
Like, that might be your story.
But like, dude, I looking at like how it is now and just how fucking brutal it is for people.
Yeah, there's like terms like ghosting and love bombing and like there's like all this stuff out there.
Yeah, it's evolved. It's not for us anymore. It's not for us.
I remember, so this is something that I started thinking about. I remember this trend that started when iPods like became ubiquitous, when like everyone had an iPod and the wired white headphones.
Yes.
And it was called jacking.
What?
Yeah, I have in my notes here, pause for laugh. No, it was called jacking. And people would walk up to each other and they would just plug their headphones into strangers' iPods. And like literally, if the music fit, bingo, you're dating and likely to call a U-Haul that weekend.
That's okay. If anyone knows anyone, because definitely no one who listens to the show met anyone that way. But it may be through 6 degrees of separation and Kevin mm-hmm. Bacon. We can figure out if anybody knows anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to bring it up on the next show and ask, has anyone met anybody by jacking them? We're going to have to explain it.
Right. Otherwise,
it's not a sentence you can just say. Yeah. Because I'm sure the answer, you know, otherwise would be very high. But it was a real thing. I remember like reading it in like the New Yorker. Or New York. New Yorker. It wasn't highbrow enough for the New Yorker. What is this, the Atlantic? If anyone ever did that to me, they would absolutely run in the opposite direction as fast as possible.
Todd, we gotta start.
Unless there's like a slew of girls out there that are into Megalovania from Undertale or the Skank and Pickles. Or like the later years of the Misfits, like a decade after Danzig. If you're into that, then if you jack with me, you know, it could happen. It could be a we could be a thing. Yeah, I'm far from an ideal jackmate.
God, no one is doing this anymore. Yeah. If you got back into the dating game, it wouldn't even happen. There's not even a plug for the headphones in your cell phone right now.
To try to connect to them Bluetooth. Right. That doesn't sound as fun. But jacking was the thing. What about you?
Because then I just blew myself.
That's really good.
It's the Tobias Fünke. I just blew myself.
It's impossible to happen, but it's got a catchy phrase, so maybe it's a thing we can get going. What I think is, what I start thinking about is this, right? It's 2022. There's so many infinite ways now to know somebody. Like, I think if I was dating in 2022, the first two things I'd ask for is their DoorDash history and to see what YouTube videos are recommended to them.
I would never find anybody. I would never find any. If that was the case, Todd, it's the worst case for me.
But imagine, it tells you so much. Like for me, it's like literally green juice, green juice, green juice, green juice. Then abject slobbery on Saturday nights when I found out that Dwayne Reed can do on DoorDash now. And I just get a whole bunch of stuff for Gray and I staying up late, like goldfish and Flaming Hot Cheetos and Cheez-Its.
Right, but mine is much, much,
much, much, much,
many, much,
much, many, much is worse. Tell me what I would see.
Oh, it's just all fast food because it's just a nightmare. I try to clean it up.
Fast is as slow as you go.
Right, I try like the, you know, I'll try to mix in like a, you know, a healthy item here or there. So they might be, maybe someone will look at it and be like, oh, there's hope for them. Like Chopped is here. Like the salad. Oh, good. Like,
okay. Yeah.
So maybe they'll look and they'll be
like, I like how you had explained to me what Chopped is. I'm well aware of what Chopped is, Mike. Eat there 3 times a week.
I didn't explain it.
Chopped, the salad place.
I didn't say
Oh, that. You were just being a show off.
Did I say the salad place?
I don't know. I'm not recording this. It's not like I can go back.
You're the worst.
Okay. But it's true though, right? There's like so many like, there's so much like history you can see now. Like, so this is where it came from. We were at this party and I was watching a Fats Domino concert on the screen because they were like showing something like in this bar we were in.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, so Fats Domino's playing on the screen. And I'm like really into it because Fats Domino's the jam. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this guy turns it off and plugs his computer in to start a slideshow of like pictures.
This is in a bar?
Yeah, so it's like a bar, like a downstairs bar where like you can have an event, right? So there's like a screen that they set up that you could have like a slideshow of pictures for the birthday montage or whatever.
Oh, it's a terrible bar. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, like every once in a while you're at a bar and like they're playing like a concert. You know, he used to do that all the time, like Irving Plaza, like before the show, they'd be like playing a concert, like an old concert.
Yes, okay. I'm with you now.
So this guy plugs his computer in to start the slideshow, and YouTube is the first thing that's there. And Mike, it's like right-wing propaganda.
Like how far are we talking?
It's like plandemic. And this is like, you know, your suggested YouTube videos, and it's like the plandemic, deleted Rogan shows, uh-huh. Fauci's lies, like Putin and Hunter Biden, a love story. It's like literally there's like six videos you can see, and all of them are like the most far right wing stuff you could ever see. Right. So I'm like, if you start dating someone now and you just look at their YouTube like recommended, because YouTube knows you better than you know you.
Yeah.
Like that's a clear picture of what you're getting yourself into.
Yours is very honest. Yours is because it's green juice and speed runs.
Dude, it's Game Sack, Scott the Waz, FNAF songs, and clay sculpting, and maybe AVGN.
Right.
Literally,
literally, it's really just jogging and moving quickly and exercise for you. It's greens, it's greens and speed runs, and I'm sticking to it.
You think that might be appealing, but I can't imagine there's many people that would be interested in that.
No, I mean we're at two far ends of the desirability lies somewhere between you and I.
That's true. Yeah, we're both on opposite ends of the spectrum. Both of those ends are not desirable.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if you're looking for a partner, they might not respect the fact that a seagull can carry away your sandwich. But they, you know, they might be like, what kind of, like, one, he got mugged like, for his sandwich
by a seagull. And it's like, so what do you, how many hours a week do you spend working out? You couldn't hold on to your sandwich from a seagull?
Right.
The cracks are starting to show in your story, Hunt. Right. So jacking is out, but you know, the trail that we leave behind on pretty much everything we do, from what we watch, what we listen to, what we eat, is there now.
Yeah,
it's got to be a really like weird, it's got to be a weird time. I'm just glad that it's not something that we have to deal with. You know what, what would be even worse? If only one of us was doing it.
That'd be great for the show.
Oh, that's true. It would be great for the show, but it'd be terrible for like the other one of us because we'd have to hear about it. Like, imagine this, right? This is what it would be. Hey, I met this girl. She's great. Yeah, we're going out Saturday. Okay, cool. That's great. Hey, how was Saturday night? Oh, it was great. Things are great. Oh, she's really cool, man. Like, I think I like a bunch of her friends were there and they were really cool. It was great. And like 2 weeks later, it's like, Mike, how's it going? I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm past the point.
Over and over again.
Yeah, I'm past the point in my life where I think I could be encouraging to someone who's trying to do a relationship.
Like, you know, with you?
No.
Are you trying to do a relationship with me? Because I can't be encouraging of that.
Right, I'm not encouraging.
I'm not the right person for that.
Right, you don't want any of this. I just mean that, like, if someone, like one of my friends was starting a relationship, I don't think I couldn't be the cheerleader. Like, I'm done with that. Like, really, You know what I'm saying?
I could never. No, I don't think I was ever good at that, but I certainly couldn't do it now.
You certainly couldn't do it now. It's like, because, you know, like most of the people you know are already hitched, right? So
they're either hitched or dead.
Right. Right, exactly.
That's the people I know.
Yeah. Hitched or
dead.
Yeah,
no. But isn't that the thing? Like, the longer you're married, the less friends you have that aren't.
Right. But, and then that's why you don't want to circle back to be like, you know.
Oh, I could never.
How'd things go with Lisa? And like, you know, Lisa. I'm not seeing her anymore. I was like, oh, so she's not coming to the holiday party. I'll make sure to adjust the menu because she was a vegan.
So I can order a few less apps then?
Yeah. I'll save some
time. The vegan stuff. Well, you know, I'll eat that.
Yeah.
Right. Be like, Mike, is Lisa coming? Be like, no, she's not coming anymore. Be like, so I can have all this?
Yeah, so I'll eat all the greens.
It's great. I'll have the whole crudité.
Yeah.
It's all me. Because what else are you going to get? Eggplant? No one wakes up and thinks about eggplant.
No. No one does.
Maybe Tracy.
Maybe who's either on vacation or on her way to be on going on vacation.
We're both going to be at the airport tomorrow. Yeah, different times.
Which sounds like you're setting up a really bad alibi for a really good Netflix series.
Yeah, The Butler.
Right? It's just like, you know, I don't know.
Love
like,
at first bite.
It just cuts to me doing one of those, you know, like, you can't FaceTime with the cameras. Just being like, you know, first it was weird because he said she was gone. But then I heard her in the back correct this sequel story. And then the director will do that thing where he talks off camera like you want to tell us what the sequel story is? And I'll be like, yeah, that was me too. So Todd had this sandwich on the beach.
And I was there. Inject yourself into it.
Right. So we're both eating this sandwich, like Scooby and Shaggy from opposite
end to end.
Right.
Yeah. Mike O'Gorman used to always like make fun of the sci-fi movies that like were a thing for a while. And the one that he came up with, which is my favorite, was Snake Lake.
Snake Lake.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's something that that they didn't make Snake Lake? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Mike's actually I just talked to Mike yesterday. He's flying to, I asked him if he wanted to do a show with us soon. And he said he'd love to and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure there's part of that's true. But he's flying
certainly
to England.
Certainly the blah, blah, blah I can vouch for.
Yeah. He's flying to England to film a few episodes for a very, very popular series.
Great.
Like incredibly popular. Like one of the most popular series around right now. Unfortunately, I can't say what it is. Even to you. I told him. It's just not something I'm going to tell him, mostly because I want to surprise you once it's there.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, he's going to be there for like a week or two. But after that, I think we should get him on a show.
Yeah.
We need to start to talk about Mario Paint and Boku.
Oh, really big shoe. I mean, we got to get it in the books. We just got to lock it down. It's either this weekend or next.
I think it's going to have to be next because I'm not flying back till Saturday. And then Sunday, I'm just going to be wiped. And Tracy's still going to be away.
Or dead. When you say you're both meeting at the airport,
I'm going to be dating again.
I think this episode is going to be submitted as evidence for sure. This fucking experiment is definitely going to be submitted.
I don't know. I mean, granted, there's a possibility because I record all of our calls in case that there's anything good enough to use for the show. This might be the first time we just say, screw it. We'll just put the whole show up and call it dad as hell.
Yeah. You know what?